I need to shut it down. Just retool, man.
So does D-Ray. He needs to shut it down, too.
What you got against D-Ray, man? He ain't did nothing to nobody.
Exactly.
What?
Well, there weren't many changes, but there was one that shook the franchise.
Somehow or other, we've got completely off course here.
Shut up, idiot!
With the triangle, the ball is constantly moving.
You are a sad, strange little man. You have my pick.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome once again to the Triangle Offensive Podcast. I'm your host, G Wiz, with my co-host, Dave, and we have some special guests this week. In a joint effort with the Stay Oz Podcast, we will have Stay Oz Podcast hosts, Chris and Jordan. From the ATS report. Kind of a weird name, but hey, we let them stay on anyway. So we're going to do a...
You're not going to skate past that. I'm going to tell you exactly what it means so you don't get confused. This is all things sports, brother.
So we're moving on. So we're going to have a... we're going to do a special NBA roundtable this week, and we're just going to look at the first 30 picks, the first round of the draft. The draft is coming up on the 21st of June, I want to say.
Yes.
And the Bulls happen to have the 7th pick in the first round. We're all Bulls fans, so that's just something to note. So what we're going to look at first is the Phoenix Suns have the first overall pick. It seems to be a consensus right now. A few months back, it was a little bit of a debate between DeAndre Ayton of Arizona, a 7-foot center, and you had the guard, Luka Doncic, from Slovenia. Now, on mock draft boards recently, Doncic has dropped a little bit, and people are putting Ayton and Bagley and Bamba near the top, power forwards and centers. So I just wanted to get you guys initial thoughts on the first pick. Who do you think Phoenix is going to take? We'll start with Chris from the Stay Oz Podcast.
DeAndre Ayton is the obvious move here. A lot was made of hiring Lucas, high school, whatever, youth coach. But in the end, Ayton's starting to separate himself from the pack. Ayton is the clear number one.
Clear number one. All right, let's see how clear it is. Jordan, do you got Ayton in your top pick?
You know what? I was debating on whether or not it would be Doncic or Ayton. Doncic, because of some of the same things that Chris was saying, they hired his whoever it was, and I think he would be a good fit with those boys in Phoenix, with Booker and Mark, Chris, and all them. But I'm leaning towards Ayton too. I think Ayton is number one. It's kind of consensus number one pick. Big man, can do it all. Post up, can shoot a little bit. He has a lot of ability. He's strong. He's already kind of built for the NBA. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Ayton.
All right. Dave, you feel about the same? Or you got another pick?
Nah, I can't be a contrarian with this one. The backcourt is already kind of set in Phoenix. So, I mean, going with Luka wouldn't really make a lot of sense. Ayton right. seems like the clear choice. You know what I mean?
Okay. So here's a side question to that though. So Ayton, and within this show, Ayton is the consensus number one pick from Phoenix. Is Marvin Bagley in the discussion? I mean,
absolutely not.
Number one?
For one.
No.
No.
Not at all. Maybe two or three, but that's it. No.
So you rate Ayton higher than Bagley, even though Bagley has a couple things going for him. He's a lefty. He can shoot clearly, and he does rebound, and he runs the floor pretty well. So that does that sway you any? I mean, there's about an inch difference in height, but does that sway you, any of you, any little bit, either way?
I mean, maybe, depending on the kind of offense they decide to run. Mm-hmm. Like, I could see Bagley fitting in with the – I don't – like the way Houston kind of runs and guns. Mm-hmm. I don't see him fitting in there. But like I said, the way Phoenix backcourt is, like they the buckets are there. You know what I mean? Like they need an anchor in the middle, a defensive anchor that I feel like Aiden is. Like that would be his role immediately. And like he could take that over and run with it.
But even though Aiden, his strong suit isn't defense, he's still better defensively than Bagley. Bagley is borderline terrible.
Yeah.
Aiden at least offers you some resistance down low. I think he's a slightly stronger rebounder. And I think he fits that group a little better. They have Marquese Chriss. Not that he's anything near what Bagley is offensively, but he does offer some similar attributes as far as being, you know, a small frame live wire type guy. But Aiden is just physically ready to play NBA basketball and bang with the bigs down low.
That's I think what it is. His size. Bagley's built more of a. He's not built for the rigors of basketball, like NBA basketball yet. He don't have his man body yet. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, I think he's gonna get pushed around for a year or two. But Aiden's good to go. He look like he's 35 already.
Yeah, Greg, I'll be syndrome. Yeah, you know what? I think if we're talking about a position of need, just strictly need, I don't think the Suns are lacking in the forward position. You got Bender, you got Chris. Josh Jackson is a tweener. He's tall enough to play that position too, and he's very good on defense. So I don't think that's an area of need for them. So I don't think they'll be aiming that way anyway. Not saying that Bagley wouldn't come in and be the best out of those people I mentioned, but I just think big man is the way to go.
That's a good point. That's a good point, especially when you consider Tyson Chandler's getting up in age. I'm not sure if they re-signed him for another year, but I know he's getting up in age. And a couple of the centers that they've selected in the past few years haven't really turned out well. But you got Lynn, he's basically a bench player. He's not a starter in this league. So all good points. We got Calvin joining us. Calvin, we was just getting to the first pick for the Phoenix Suns. Now we're gonna look at the rest of the draft from there. So so with the second pick, they have – and I'm just going off a basic mock draft on NBADraft.net. So they got Ayton, 7 foot center, going first. Then they got Bagley. They got Bagley going to Sacramento. Everybody pretty much agree with that. I mean, considering their guards at the top, where you drafted De'Aaron Fox, Josh Jackson, Frank Mason from Kansas last year, that kind of settles it there. Justin Jackson.
I think the first three are pretty much locks, man. Like I don't see too much moving those three picks around. Like once we start getting,
I don't see nothing.
Hold on, because that's an interesting comment, sir. So now we'll get into the third pick, which is Atlanta, and on this mock draft they got them getting Mohamed Bamba. You agree with that?
Yeah, I saw them going with Luka. Just as a guard, like Atlanta has let everybody go over the last couple years. But I figure if they would get a guard to kind of stabilize that backcourt a little bit, then I could see them, you know, next year maybe investing in some bigs. Especially him being available at three, I don't see him falling past that.
I think the Kings are going to get scared away from Luka because of the rumors that he said he's absolutely positively not playing for them. So that's going to lock Bagley in. Then with three, I think Atlanta's going to try to hit a home run. They're in desperate need of buckets. So I think they're going to go with kind of a boom or bust. And I think Michael Porter Jr. going to Atlanta.
The interesting thing I'll say about Atlanta has always tried to get their power forwards and their centers as like the cornerstone of their team, and they build out. Past few, I mean, they would always, you know, sign a a Jason Terry or a Joe Johnson, somebody like that. They would always bring a guard in, but they never really. The only guards that they drafted recently, two guards, which were point guards, were Jeff Teague and Dennis Schroeder, or Schrader. So I could see them going for this center, Bamba. But I mean, I could see them going for a guard too, just to
Did you say Porter, Chris? You said they're gonna research.
Yeah, I actually see it's a new regime in Atlanta too, and I see them because it's new ownership. They're going to try to drum up a fan base. And you can kind of sell Michael Porter as this big-time scorer coming in. It's a gamble, but I think Atlanta's going to be willing to take it considering their circumstances. And if they hit, they got something for 10 years.
Yeah. I'm kind of with that one as well. In fact, I'm only saying it because I hope that that's what it is and not – The mock draft that's been the latest rumors, because man, Bamba, I wish he was still a sleeper, but it's kind of coming out now that dude is a freak, and you don't already have to worry about him on one end of the court, and from what everybody's saying in his training sessions and his business to different teams is that he's improving his game already on the offensive side better than when he was at Texas. So you take that type of talent, that type of size and body in the league and give him a few years to bloom, he might. I don't even know who I could compare to him. They say Rudy Gobert with a jump shot. That's scary.
And then the athletic splits that he put up, getting across the lane, the shuttle runs, if you combine that wingspan and that quickness with the ability to challenge at the rim, he could be one of the greatest defensive centers if he applies those tools. He could be one of the greatest defensive centers we've ever seen.
That's a bit much for me.
I'm not sold on Bamba.
Yeah, I'm the same way. But the thing about greatest defensive centers is that they've shown you that in college. I haven't seen greatest defensive center out of him. Perhaps he could be. I just haven't seen it. And with the emphasis on shooting and guard play in the league nowadays, your impact as a center has lessened. So
I don't want another Tyson Chandler or the Beat or
no Tyson Chandler.
He has to. The knock on him is he doesn't hustle. He doesn't run. So
how's that going to work for you? Then how can he be a defensive presence if he don't want to hustle or run? You know what I'm saying?
Reach them long arms from wherever he is.
That's what I'm saying. You gotta turn that kid, at the very least, come into the league. If you can turn him into Capella right now, you know what I'm saying, and know that he can only go up from there, you know, you got something.
But here's the interesting thing.
I think he could be better than Capella.
Capella wasn't drafted number two. Or yeah. Number three on between three and seven.
Pick. And you got to the fact you got to turn him into Capella and then move him past that bothers me.
Yeah,
but to be honest with you, no, I don't even agree with that. I don't see him as being someone that you have to turn into Capella. Maybe with the body and the strength, but I think he already has the defensive tools to be way better than Capella in the first place.
I'm not doubting the tools. It's the effort that bothers me.
Yeah, if the man don't
well,
run,
if you. Uh-uh. Well, they just say that the man run faster than Westbrook or James Harden in his combine.
That's cool. That means he can run to the bench fast when I bring in my defensive center. What I'm talking about is if I'm a draft you between three and seven, you got to give me and you a defensive dude. Your arm span is this long. I'm gonna need the defensive presence. Ain't gonna be no man.
He
I gotta build him up.
Yeah,
he averaged 3.5 blocks. I mean, what more do you want?
Did he play the whole season?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he played the whole season. I don't remember him getting hurt. I really don't. He played the whole season.
He didn't play the whole season. They sat him out a few games in the second half of the season. But that's the meat of your Big 12 schedule. Not saying that he wouldn't have still gotten those numbers. That's fantastic. But when I hear things like effort and hustle, being a problem. That's a problem for me when I draft a center that high. Has anybody heard anything like that with Ayton?
Yes.
Has anybody heard that he don't have a good motor?
I heard he takes plays off and he doesn't give effort on the defensive end.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But hold on. So let's say you take that, right? But are you drafting Ayton for his defense or for his presence and for his offense? Like Bamba, his offense isn't where Ayton's is, right? Do we all agree on that?
True. I agree with that.
Okay. So if his offense isn't where it is, then he needs to lean on his defense. And if he's not giving me effort, how can I regard him as a high draft pick? You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of just taking a chance at that point.
It's because of his potential. It's the same thing with Jaren Jackson. I don't think Jaren Jackson should even be in the league.
Jaren Jackson's a bum, just like the last Michigan State player that got drafted that high. He's a bum, too.
Hey. I'm sorry. That's what I'm saying.
Sorry, I know he's 18 years old.
Smith as well, because I don't think Jaren Jackson should even be sniffing anywhere near the lottery, but apparently some people do based off of his potential. But he's the hugest boom bust factor in the top 10 right now, and somebody going to get him. Hopefully not the Bulls, even though that would be a Bulls thing to do.
Yeah. The Bulls going Bulls. I'm looking at some mock drafts. Like we say, between 3 and 7, which is where I'm gonna hold the conversation. We'll stop at that point for a bit and talk about the Bulls. But between 3 and 7, you got a difference of Bamba could be either 3 or he could be 7. Jaren Jackson between 3 and 4. Doncic is somewhere between 4 and 10. Then you get to the players that the Bulls could draft. Now let's dig into that a little bit.
I actually have Jaren Jackson dropping to Cleveland.
To 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, people are getting woke up on him, man. He sucks.
I don't know if people getting woke. I think other people's boards are moving other players up. Like Bamba's stock is rising.
Yes.
That's a good point.
Michael Porter Jr., the more they see him, his stock has to go back up.
His stock is.
Yeah,
I assume he might slip to the Bull, but I don't.
It's not looking like
past
it.
Orlando. Nah. At this point.
And that's why I have Jackson dropping, because I have Porter, then Doncic with the Grizzlies. Then I have Bamba in Dallas. Trae Young, of course, is going to Orlando because they need a guard. The Bulls are going Bulls.
So let me ask you this. You saying Memphis is going to draft Doncic even though they have Conley?
Doncic can play 1, 2, and 3.
He can play small four. He's 6'8".
Who's the 2 in Memphis? Who's the anything except Gasol and Conley?
Anything.
I can't give you a breakdown of Memphis roster, but
no one can.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Doncic might be a good fit with them, but I don't think he'll last that long.
But see, the hype on Doncic is too high right now. I think he's still probably top 2 pick.
You think
no? Because if he, he's not going number 1. He's not going number 2 because he's not going to go to the Kings.
They could trade down that pick.
They should because they're not going to get who they want.
Why trade the pick and you could just get Bagley?
Well, because
and you already got guards,
right?
Don't they pay more salary when they hire the pick?
If it was up to me in Sacramento at the number 2 pick, you know Doncic is not coming. I would trade down a few spots. You already stated that Atlanta might be looking for a wing who can score. So perhaps you let them get number 2. They get Porter or whoever they're going to pick in there perhaps, or hope that Bagley falls to number 3 or 4, whoever you trade with. They should trade.
And actually, I've heard that Sacramento might be a little enamored with Porter. Because Vlade Divac had the same back injury as Porter. He believes it's no big deal. So
he going to send Porter over to the Yugoslavian doctors? Right. Okay. Let's move
Vlade
on.
Vlade likes to party.
Vlade Dottie, he likes to party. Let's move on. You got the Bulls have the 7th pick. Now, they can, from what we've just been talking about, they can, Doncic might be available, Wendell Carter, Michael Porter, Muhammad Bamba, or Trae Young. We'll stop there. So who do you think is the best selection for the Bulls? And we'll start with Calvin.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. I know we kind of talked about him already, and I hope he slips. But I think Mo Bamba is the best pick for the Bulls, man. I mean, you got that wingspan. Think about this, right? You're going to have your defensive center that's 7 feet that got a wingspan that's never seen before. And he's defensive center. He doesn't even have to play offense, but he can still shoot the ball. And then you get everybody else around him. I mean, the Bulls potentially can have something decent. And then everybody's kind of saying they're sleeping on the Bulls for the free agency this summer. I mean, they potentially could have a nice lineup coming 2019, 2018.
Nobody's coming here, man.
That's what he said. He said nobody's coming here. But what he's saying is if you build the team, then they'll come. So if you have a good nucleus of young talent, which I don't believe the Bulls have, but if you have a good nucleus of young talent, then you might be able to get a free agent here or there. So okay, so now we'll move over to Jordan. So who do you think is the best selection for the Bulls?
Oh my God. Okay, what were the names again? I just want to be fair about it before I say it. Mo Bamba and who else?
Okay, so at this point it fluctuates, but you got Luka Doncic, Wendell Carter, Michael Porter, Muhammad Bamba, Trey Young.
Don't forget Jared Jackson.
I'm picking Trey Young. You already know we've had conversations about this before. I'm not picking Trey Young. He's another small point guard. He was exposed in the playoffs, in the college tournament. I'm not picking another 6'2 guard that can get exposed on the defensive end.
When have we ever picked a 6'2 guard?
Jay Williams.
Kirk Heinrich.
Let's see.
So Jay Williams was exposed?
No, bro. I'm just saying we haven't picked anybody that can play on both sides of the floor. And I think you need to give Chris Dunn a little bit more time. But anyway, to your point, I think Mo Bamba as well is the best selection, the perfect fit for the Bulls. And he wants to be here. I mean, you see all his interviews, he's already saying, you know, I would be a good fit on the side of Lauri Markkanen. Markkanen can kill from the outside. Bamba can hold down the paint. Then you got Zach, Chris Dunn, and now you just got to worry about shooting guard. So I don't think that's a bad spot for Bamba to go for team fit as well.
Okay. All right. So we appreciate your view. So let me get Chris in here. Stay Oz Podcast. So who do you think the Bulls should select? Again, I say it one more time. Trey Young, Muhammad Bamba, Michael Porter, Wendell Carter, Luka Doncic.
There's a difference between who I think the Bulls should pick and who the Bulls will pick.
Okay, but look, we'll get to who they will pick in a little bit. But who do you think they should get?
I'm a Michael Porter guy, man. I think it doesn't hurt. There's only maybe three or four guys in this draft who are going to be transcendent as far as once we get this dude, you know, the face of our franchise, the look of our franchise is going to change for the next 10 years. Ayton, Bagley, Doncic, and Porter. The other three will be gone, in my opinion. So Porter has a chance to drop there, and I think he, with his scoring ability, his ability to be – we saw what Kevin Durant did last night, man. When you can be 6'10", 6'11", and put the ball in the basket like that, and one can affect your shot, I think Porter has the potential to be that. And if you can get that, man, you got gold.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard a comparison to him to, like, Paul George.
I don't think he has that motor. But I think he's got more skill than Paul George. Well, we'll get back to that though. So Dave, do you agree with the Michael Porter pick or do you want Bamba?
Oh no. The Bulls need buckets. I don't want them reaching on potential two-way players or defense and building other guys up, but the Bulls need scoring. That's the way the NBA is going. So give me Michael Porter Jr. If he's not available, give me Trae Young. Like one of those two guys, because you figure the pick and roll with him and Markkanen would be deadly.
Yes.
Trae can pass. He's a good enough shooter to at least stretch your defense, and he can still attack the basket. He's a, what do you average, 26 or 27 and 8 or something like that? Like he can still pass the ball. He's got underrated vision, which is kind of crazy, but
he led one of them two guys in both scoring and assists.
Like I don't
last year.
I don't know what I think who's left based on by the time the Bulls get to the 7 pick. I think Trae Young is probably the best fit at that point because Mo Bamba and I believe Michael Porter Jr. going to be gone by that time.
Yeah, I agree.
But Trae Young got range, man. The man can shoot from 30.
True.
So give me that. I'll take it.
I want points, yeah, okay, man. I can't keep watching the Bulls struggle to put points on the board.
Yeah.
And they keep drafting these defensive guys like Dunn. I like Dunn. He's a try-hard. He hustles. But he can't score. Like he struggles to score. He, you know, he gets in these cold streaks.
And
like we need buckets, man.
And that's where I want to dig into.
Trae Young and Doug play off of each other. He could play the two, and Trae can run the point. I mean, exactly. You know, and then he'll make up for Trae Young's deficiencies because he's going to be like Steph Curry, where LeBron wants to switch off and have Steph guard him because he's so small. But I mean, but when you can pull up from 30, you can't guard that.
You could pull up from 30, and you can find your teammates the way that Trae Young can. I don't think he gets enough credit for his not just ability to pass, but his desire to find his open teammates. And he could run the screen roll as good as anybody. So if that's marking his game, screen roll, he's perfect. Now, if you get Michael Porter Jr., some things will have to move around with him and marketing. They could be a force as two forwards on the team. I think Michael Porter kind of go more to the guard once he gets healthier. He'll be guarding twos, threes, and fours. He'll be guarding either twos, threes, and fours, depending on how they want to work it. But I think that can work. Bamba, yeah. I'm getting the vibe he won't be there. And Wendell Carter, I don't even want to talk about him. To me, Wendell Carter, I don't know how to. The cream rises to the top. Let me just state this real quick. The cream rises to the top. Okay, so you got Wendell Carter and Marvin Bagley on the same team. Marvin Bagley was hurt for a few games, right? He hurt his foot, I want to say. So you still had Wendell Carter. Wendell Carter didn't disappear, but he wasn't one of those breakout guys to where I'm like, yo, okay, I can see why everybody's real hyped about him. He's cool. But is he a top 5-10 pick? Maybe in this draft, but no.
No, not even.
I was going to say,
Wendell,
in this draft,
Wendell Carter is that dude that at the very worst, he's going to give you like 11 and 7. But
that's
he'll
what I'm
never
saying.
He'll never give you 20 and 12.
No.
Exactly. His best year
his ceiling is really low.
It'll probably be, like you said, 11 and 7, 12 and 8. Somewhere in there, those would be his best years.
15 and 10, he'll hit a ceiling.
You telling me that I drafted this dude number 7 as a cornerstone?
He's the definition of safe.
Yeah,
he's the definition of safe.
He's a
you need a brand. I'm not even going front. No, I wouldn't pick Wendell Carter, but you need somebody that's going to be a glue guy.
Yeah, but not his team. Like
Elmers,
you can't do
like what are we talking
the
about?
The Cavs can go with a Wendell Carter, not a team like the Bulls or something like that.
Yeah, the Bulls need somebody that could be a cornerstone. Wendell Carter is more
the impact.
Yeah. Yes,
I told him. I think if nobody else is there though, because we're talking about if everybody else is taken,
no.
If Michael Porter's not there, Young's not there. If Bamba's not there, then yeah, I'm gonna go to Wendell Carter.
I think one of those three.
So you just overlooked Trae Young completely.
He doesn't like Trae.
I just said Trae.
I didn't catch it. Okay.
You know what? I just hope the Bulls don't be looking at Mikal Bridges. I don't want to see him. Like I feel like
I can barely see him. He's a why is he even being talked about in this draft? Is it because Villanova won? Is it because he can shoot? Like, what is it?
He's a two-way player.
The man
He's the best perimeter defender in the draft.
And he gets two Jeff threes, Green, right? Brother.
Yeah.
Yep. So you know they're going to hype him up and say his potential is a Kawhi Leonard, Jeff Green type.
Not Kawhi.
Somewhere in between that.
Not Kawhi.
Kawhi's way. Now,
Jeff Green, okay. But what I'm seeing, no, what I'm seeing is they in the mock. What I'm seeing in the mock draft is that they got him going 10 to Philly, which to me sounds perfect. And if he works out, you don't have to pay Redick. So now you've got a tall guard who can also rebound, and he plays defense on both ends. You might be able to get rid of Covington because that dude, he's a pile of hot garbage.
I've seen mocks of him going to the Cavs. Which is
I don't know about it being a pile of hard.
Well, it's flexible. It's within that 7 to 10 range. I mean, hopefully the Bulls don't even look at him. But
to me, I feel like if the Bulls want to be successful, the best options they got is going to be Michael Porter Jr., Trae Young, or Mo Bamba. And I think realistically, one of those three dudes will be available by the time 7 comes. Honestly, if you look at
one of them be there.
Even though I like him, I think of those three that you just named, Trae Young is the worst fit.
For the
Bulls. His talent is undeniable, in my opinion. But fit-wise, and not saying that I would draft for fit, but fit-wise, he's the worst of the three.
What's the Bulls' fit? Like, what's our?
You need a
wing. They don't have an identity or MO right now. They just kind of
You need a point guard that's Porter. You need a center that's Bamba. You don't necessarily need a point guard.
Right.
Hold on, man. Because at this point, let's lay it out. Everybody knows in the draft, especially a pick within the top with lottery picks. So within the top, 13, 14 picks, you draft the best player available.
Yes.
Not necessarily.
So no, not always necessarily. I don't know what you're talking about. Always necessarily, you draft the best player available, especially when you pick it between 1 and 14, because you clearly, unless you a playoff team who made a trade and now you got a pick in the top 5 or 10, you don't have an identity yet, not a clear one. You're trying to develop one, and you clearly don't have your cornerstone yet. So
you have two or three players though, who on your board, the difference is negligible. You do go with it.
Exactly.
So you're saying the difference, so your issue is the difference between Michael Porter, Trae Young, Wendell Carter is minimal.
He's talking about fit on the team. So he's saying Trae Young's fit.
Carter, Wendell Carter is the second time I've said Carter.
Let me get this straight. So what you're saying is who the Bulls have now. And what Trae Young can do, the difference between those players is minimal.
Who the Bulls have now, looking at their roster, what they have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I had the choice between Porter, Bamba, and Young, drafting for fit, Young would be third on that list.
So let me ask you, how many wins did the Bulls have last year?
Don't know.
He's saying drafting from fit. I get what
he's saying. Wait.
No, I get you. I'm going somewhere.
Let me ask you this. Out of those three that you mentioned for us to pick, who do you think is the best player available out of those three?
Probably Michael Porter.
Porter, if you can get him. I don't think Porter's going to be there. But if he is there, you jump on him.
I think teams are scared of the back, man.
They could be scared all day. Porter's a cornerstone player. Yeah. I mean, what are you gonna miss? You only won less than 30 games last year. What could it hurt? let's lose another 50 plus or whatever, and then we'll be right back in the draft next year. But
you know what,
if he's healthy, the chance you take to get him and he works out, man, it's worth it. That dude, he's amazing.
Earlier I said I think Mo Bamba fits better, but when you really think about it, you could put Laurie Markkanen in that center, and you could put.
The
league is changing, fellas. The league is changing.
I don't know, man.
Stretch him out.
You can't change that much.
Maybe for a little stretch or two, maybe a 5 or 10 minute stretch, but you can't start.
I don't know, man. I feel like with this NBA, man, there's a lot of soft centers out there, bro. You could change them.
So that doesn't mean you go in and create one.
You can put him at 4-3, Michael Porter. You know, he's interchangeable.
The only way I'm putting Larry Markkanen as center is if I have a power forward that can guard people. You can't have a whole five players who can't guard people out there.
And since you're not getting Anthony Davis, whoever else is that talk, Kevin Durant, that doesn't apply.
I'm talking about top two picks.
No, I'm talking about what he just said as far as forwards being able to guard all the other different positions. That's why you don't move Larry Markkanen into the five, because he'll get exposed.
But Kevin Durant, he's playing center for Golden State for stretches. Draymond is the starting center, but Durant has been the presence. I'm not saying that you don't want a center on the roster, because clearly Golden State understands that. They've got JaVale McGee, David West. They got some guys. They drafted Jordan Bell, which the Bulls didn't want. We could talk about that another time. But you don't put Markkanen at center isn't necessarily a bad idea. He's a matchup nightmare.
It's not a bad idea. It's a terrible idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Larry Markkanen is one, not Kevin Durant. He's not going to give you what Kevin Durant gives you on offense, and he's not going to give you anything near what Kevin Durant gives you on defense. Quiet as is, Kevin Durant is still a top 20 defensive player in the league. So, yes.
But Kevin Durant's an all-time great. I'm not going to compare Larry Markkanen to Kevin Durant, but what I'm saying is with his offense, he's a matchup nightmare. And if you regard Larry Markkanen as highly as I believe you guys do, then you would think about trying to put him in the best possible scenarios to where he can have an advantage on the offensive end.
Which is that powerful. Stretch four.
Yep.
Unless you have a Draymond Green type that is playing power forward, that is directing and doing everything on your defense.
Okay. Those are for the elite teams, right? So we agree. The top four teams have somebody like a Draymond in those positions. Well, except for Houston. But PJ Tucker is a beast. Man. We can talk about that another time too. So let's run this. Who's Cleveland's who?
Defensive guy that they bring in to stop layup drills.
LeBron James.
He doesn't stop anything right now.
That's because he's tired. But LeBron James does everything for them. I don't know if you saw the opening the opening rosters, you know, when they run out of the tunnel, but all of those guys had on LeBron James face masks. So it's LeBron. He does everything for them. The only team that's different in the NBA is Golden State and Houston. Everybody else is a little bit more traditionally built, but Golden State is guard heavy. Houston is guard heavy, and they just got Capella. So I mean, it's not a stretch to say you can put Larry Markkanen in.
Huh? Capella's a defensive force at the rim, and he starts
right.
Every ball.
So what I think this is what Calvin is getting to. You could put him at the center. You just need another defensive guy.
That's what I said.
And you don't have to draft a defensive guy. You could trade for him. You could sign him. But you don't need to draft him. You could draft scoring. So Michael Porter, Trey Young.
Until you get that guy, do not put Larry Markkanen at the five.
It would be kind of sexy to look at that, man. The whole everybody on the wing. Like, you don't even need a guy. They could be. I mean, just think about the lineup of Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, maybe David Wamba at the three, Michael Porter Jr. and Markkanen.
But if you're trying to score, why is David Nwaba in?
For defense, for hustle.
Okay.
The glue guy, you don't need the ball.
Yeah, Wamba doesn't need the ball. He could be effective anyway.
You got four superstars on the team. And then you got Draymond Green is one of those, but Draymond is the person that doesn't need the ball. He does everything else.
Yeah. He'll find the ball.
He plays defense on an extremely high level. The Bulls' biggest problem last year was not scoring. The Bulls gave up layup lines. their biggest problem with last year was they couldn't stop anything. I'm not saying you have to necessarily address that in the draft. I'm saying don't accentuate your problem by, let's say, let's put in another
offense on the floor. Okay, I can agree with that. I can agree with that.
It goes back to,
so then maybe Mobamba might be the better pick.
No, if he's there, perhaps. But Michael Porter more than likely will be there before Bamba.
That's true.
Bamba, I think Bamba's going to be gone top four picks. Bamba's, you know, anywhere.
His stock is rising quicker than anybody else in the draft.
Yeah. So now you're looking at either Michael Porter, Trey Young, or you still got Bridges. You got a few of Jaren Jackson. You got some guys there, but I mean, the best is Porter, and then you go down.
We were just speaking on fit, like Trey Young. Right. Again, I'm not opposed to the Bulls drafting him, but if you're trying to play Trey Young, that means you have to play Trey Young at the point, Chris Dunn at the two, and you're going to play Zach LaVine at the three and get victimized at the best position in basketball.
You're probably going to bring Zach off the bench.
Right. So you have to sacrifice somebody. You're getting ready to pay Zach, so Zach ain't going to be the one coming off the bench.
God, no, please. Zach ain't going to
be the one coming off the bench. Yeah, we have to dive into the Bulls front office decisions on another show. But let me ask this. Let me just throw this name out there because I haven't heard it yet. Is Colin Sexton? Does that intrigue anybody?
No. No, get him out of here.
Nah, that's right.
Wow.
Colin Sexton.
Wow. Hold on, one at a time, one at a time.
Close to number 22, bring him.
The reason Colin Sexton does not intrigue me is because Colin Sexton already plays for the Bulls.
Okay. And his name is Chris Dunn? Is that what you said?
So you're talking about an attack first point guard who can play crazy defense and carry your team on a college level. That's exactly what Chris Dunn did.
That's Chris Dunn Providence.
Okay. I'm just saying.
What's up with this guy? The Bulls supposedly told him to sit down and don't do nothing so we could pick you at 22.
Chandler Hutchinson?
Yeah.
His tape looks nice.
He's a shooting guard, small forward out of Boise State. He played all 4 years, 6'7", 195.
He got better every year. I mean, his tape looks nice. He actually does look nice, but he played against whack talent. So I really don't know how to make him.
Literally whack talent.
Okay. Let me throw one more name out there. It's the last name. Jalen Brunson. Does that intrigue anyone?
At what spot?
22.
I'm sorry. No. If you're going to go with somebody else for number 22, go with the guy from Wichita State, Landry Shamet.
Landry Shabbos?
Shamet. Check his tape. I knew nobody knew him when I said that name. I knew nobody would know him.
I'm looking at it right here, dude. Relax. Landry Shamet, okay. Wichita State, sophomore, point guard, small forward, 6'5", 190.
Yes, sir.
And then
I'm sick of the smoke.
I'm seeing another note on him. Hold on. It says bum underneath. Let's move on.
That's a typo. Check his tape. You didn't watch him. It's clear you didn't watch him if you're talking Jalen Brunson.
I'm just asking you.
YouTube, type in the man's name and watch him. Look at that.
I'm sorry, Joe. All right.
I like the kid out of Maryland at that spot.
Harder?
Yeah.
They got him going 17 to Milwaukee. That was a shooter, right?
Yeah, he's kind of
he's a shooter.
Rising.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's right. He might not be there.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's going to be there. You got Miles Bridges going. Top 15. Robert Williams is a name to watch. Power forward out of Texas A&M. Got a 40-something inch vertical leap.
I don't think he'll be there.
No, he won't be there. But I'm just saying he's a player to watch. I think his stock has risen. Actually, the past month or so, his stock has risen up. So So that's our initial look at the draft, just the first round, though. So last comments I give them we'll start with Chris. Any last thoughts on the draft coming up in about 14 days?
I have people who I would like to have, and then I have people who I know the Bulls will draft. According to my draft board, I have the Bulls taking Mikal Bridges.
At seven?
With Wendell Carter and Jaren Jackson still on the board, they'll go there. They'll see the fact that they'll look at Carter, obviously, because Carter is a very Bulls person to pick, but so is Bridges, and they need Bridges more. So they'll pull him. Overall, I think it's a pretty good draft. It's a lot of guys. Like I said, it's four guys who can potentially change the face of a franchise, but it's a lot of guys who are going to be in the league 5+ years. And I think it's going to be a lot of depth. I like the DiVincenzo kid. And, I'm not big on those Kentucky guys, so they got going in the middle rounds. But the DiVincenzo kid I like. And I actually like Hutchinson a little bit. So if they do take him at 22, I wouldn't be mad.
Okay. All right, Jordan, any last thoughts on the draft coming up?
What we were saying, I'm going to say if any of those three people, Bamba, Porter, or Trae Young is available, again, I'd take Bamba, Porter, and Trae Young in that order. But I'm guessing either Bamba or Porter is going to be gone by that time. So if Trae Young is the only choice out of those three, then I have no problem.
Okay. All right. We'll go to Calvin. Any last words on the draft round? You know, my final thoughts?
Yeah, man. I'm excited about it, man. I'm really anxious to see what's going to happen. It's a lot of different pieces that could be moved. You got Doncic, who should go too, but he may not go too. But see, the thing is, I worry about if they pick Marvin Bagley, they already got a log jam at center, talking about Sacramento, you know. So I don't know which way they may go with that. But if they pick him, I still think there's a possibility that one of those three guys we mentioned will fall to the Bulls at seven. At least I hope they do. But I think one of y'all said Bulls will be Bulls, and they're going to pick Mikal Bridges or Wendell Carter just to piss us off. But, you know, I'm excited, man. I'm curious to see which way this is going to go. You got a couple of different things that could change the face of the franchise, especially if you get somebody like Michael Porter Jr., who could be a superstar talent that's transcendent. Or Trae Young. You never know. But Trae Young, man, like, he could be the next coming to Steph Curry, man. He's smaller, but he could be. And if you can shoot 30, can't nobody guard you.
Okay. All right. Jimmy, Dave. Thank you for that. Dave, your final thoughts on the draft and the round table.
I really hope the Bulls draft Porter. Like, I mean, I don't know. I doubt he falls to us. But it looks like some of the mocks have Bamba moving up and Donick kind of dropping. So hopefully that throws a monkey wrench in some other team's picks and stuff. He'll fall to us. But if not, give me Trae Young, man.
Okay. All right. So here's the last question. This is for everybody. We'll pose this as the last question, and that'll finish it up. Is the Bulls' cornerstone player in this draft?
Maybe.
In the draft?
Maybe.
Yes.
In this draft, this 2018 draft.
He just won't be available.
Yeah.
Sure, they're in the draft. It matter if he'll be there.
Okay, so will the Bulls draft their cornerstone for the next 10 years in this draft?
No.
It depends. If the Bulls could package that 22nd pick with the 7th pick, they could move up to 5, maybe 5.
But that saying who they going to pick is – that's like the roll of a dice relying on Paxton. So that's – I mean, there are cornerstone players in the draft, but whether or not the Bulls take them, we've seen them move up and swing and miss and just draft players. They just gave away a center for cash considerations. So I mean, that's an open-ended question.
Okay, Jordan Bell is not a franchise changing player. We need to stop. No,
he's not a franchise. No. He's better than anything on the roster right
but
now.
But you wish you had Jordan Bell now.
Jordan Bell is better than anything the Bulls have on their roster.
He should have been drafted. He could come in and start on the Bulls. That's all I'm saying. Yes or no?
But what about Bobby Portis? Bobby Portis is not that bad.
Luka Calvin.
Yeah. Portis is better than Jordan Bell.
Offensively or both ends?
Offensively.
I guess. Well,
we'll end it there on a question mark. Obviously, there's a lot of intrigue going into the draft coming up. Who the Bulls will take, who goes number one, that might not be in question. But you've got a number of questions between picks 13 to 15. It could go either way. So we'll find out again June 21st, and we'll try to have a draft special for that also. I want to thank the gentleman from the Stay House Podcast, Chris Jordan. I want to thank my co-host, Dave, and I want to thank our special guest, Calvin. And this has been the Triangle Offensives Podcast. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
That's good work, gentlemen. Good work.